I'm learning more and more that exactly what I'm reading is directed right at me. It's very timely. When I would say, oh, that doesn't apply to me, I don't really need to worry about that. But the Lord says, no, you need to. So the Holy Spirit can do that. Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you for these people, and thank you for your word that you change not. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in a world of constant change, we can trust you, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. And this is assorted scriptures to put together. You guys are familiar with that? Okay. Peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that word guard is like a sentry, a marine sentry on duty. I mean, it's active, an active guarding of your heart. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. I'll distinguish between the different scriptures. So where did that happen? When Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you.
Resurrection.
Yeah. Okay, good. And in peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Helper, the Spirit of Truth, the fruit of the Spirit is love,
joy,
peace. Okay, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So somebody said, well, how do you know for sure? How do you know you're with my spirit? His spirit bears witness with my spirit, and I know that I know. And only God can show them that. I can't show them that. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. That's Old Testament, huh? That's Exodus. We're never getting ready to go to the promised land.
Moses trying to lead the people.
Okay. And they didn't want to be led too much.
No.
Like herding cats, somebody said. your people, and I have found great. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? That's the morning, and I'm going to read the evening as well.
Yeah,
it's reading. Okay, I switched gears. I'm just doing a little prelim here before we jump into the lesson. And think about this in relation to what we just read. We glory in tribulation. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Is anybody experiencing that currently or recently? I know that I am. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And one of my favorites, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. And you hear me say that a lot. We can have joy in the midst of sorrow. Can anybody relate to that? So when I'm in my deepest sorrow, deep inside of me, there's that joy, knowing that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ, knowing that he who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And here's one of my favorites. And there's a song that goes with this. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And that's referring to somebody who's lost everything. Get the modern translation of that. I can't pay my rent. They're going to come repossess my car, and on and on and on. Okay. Now we're going to go to the regularly scheduled programming. Chapter 5, page 46. Any questions, comments on what I just read? Okay. But you know, the thing about the Word of God, which that was, he promises that his word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish that for which he purposes and prosper in the thing whereunto he sends it. So it goes out in power. You read the word, it reads you. Welcome, guys. Glad to see you. Okay. I just shared from the Daily Light today's reading. Are you guys familiar with that? Yeah, today's is really good. Okay. Okay, back to that anger stuff. In this chapter 5, all of you does anger. We got some extra books back there if you want a book to...
I can be here.
Okay. Welcome, by the way. And who is your esteemed guest?
Our esteemed son.
Our esteemed son. Who came out here to surprise us for our anniversary.
That's so right. Okay. Well, welcome.
He and the family live in Virginia.
Okay. Okay, again, all of you does anger. And remember, this is a, what's the word for it? I like input. I like to have discussions, and I walk around and we'll talk about different things instead of just me going up here going blah, 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 blah. So we can get involved, and maybe you can actually even focus on some issues that you have. I have a lot of issues, and I can't help but think that maybe you guys have some too. So we'll see what God wants to do here. Because the Bible says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So I can try and try and try and try and try and just keep failing and failing and failing. And only the Lord can supernaturally grant me that inner strength I need in order to overcome whatever is plaguing me. Okay, when something crosses the line and you get angry, how much of you is involved? All of you. Anger is something you do. Seems obvious. Why is this so important? It's important both because it's true and because it hardly ever gets said. Usually angry people and those who give them advice focus on only one part of what is going on in anger. And curiously, the part they focus on is not you. Anger becomes something that is happening to you or in you. You deal with it, or harness it, or liberate it, or manage it, or rid yourself of it. But you are not intrinsically responsible for it. It is going on inside you, but you aren't doing it. What about that statement, you're not intrinsically responsible for it? Am I to blame when I get angry? Tell me I'm not, please. The devil made me do it. Remember that old
Nate
right. Wilson stuff?
That's hilarious.
Okay, any comments on intrinsically responsible for your anger?
Well, I think that this goes along with what he's said before. It's, and this chapter focuses on the fact that it's a part of us.
Okay.
So,
and it's a whole body experience.
It's a whole body experience.
It's not just emotion or this or that. Okay.
Right. It's not something that's come upon you. It's something that's in you that reacts.
Okay. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?
That's right.
What is that? Romans 7?
7, yes.
Yeah. The things I want to do, I don't do. There are things I don't want to do is what I find myself doing. And that was Paul that told us that. Okay, one key to getting anger straight is to understand that when you are angry, you are doing something. Anger is not an it. Anger is not just one part of you. Anger does not happen to you. You do anger. And some of us do it well. Like that old country song, you can feel bad if it makes you feel better. I won't quote those other songs, but I usually do at that point. Okay, anger is a single complex system. It's something you do with all your what? All your what? Read it to me, somebody.
Heart, soul, mind, and body.
Okay, that pretty much covers everything, huh?
Yeah.
And, see. Body, soul, and spirit, that's what the world says. Body, soul, and spirit. But what do we say? Spirit, soul, and body. Because they want to put the body at the top. And in my experience, it belongs at the bottom. Okay. Anger is a single complex system. It's something you do with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. You size something up in a flash. I don't like that. As your adrenaline surges, your body wakes up, heats up, tightens up. You feel intense emotion, which emote into your tone of voice, decibel level, body language, and facial expression. You think quickly, rehearsing what happened, imagining scenarios, evaluating, planning, and choosing. You go into action. Choosing. It's a very important word right there. Choosing. I choose to be angry. What to do and say. And this all happens just in a flash. You know, it's all going on. And let me read that again. Adrenaline surges. Your body wakes up, heats up, tightens up. You feel intense emotion, which emote into your tone of voice. Hence, don't talk to me like that. Well, all I said was, your words may be good, but your body language, your tone, your inflection is speaking much louder than that. And that's what people read most. You think quickly, rehearsing what happened, imagining scenarios, evaluating, planning, and choosing, you go into action. You guys heard me say, engage your brain before you open your mouth. You just start blurting out stuff. And it's usually counterproductive. Your desires and expectations are active. You want fairness or to be proved right or to be treated lovingly or to get your appointment on time or to protect something or to get your way. Ding, ding, ding. I want this my way and I want it now in my way. And I think, I don't really like that. And my wife will look at me and say, you like that. You're just like that. And I have to confess, I am. And more and more, and I've shared with you guys before, it's going to take a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit power to make this all work. Not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Lord, wash me, Lord, renew me. That's my prayer daily, but in his way, in his time. Look at all the stuff Job had to go through. And when I say, that's it, that's the last straw. We're like, no, that's not the last straw. There's more. that's it. I have not, absolutely cannot take any more. Oh yeah, you're gonna take more and I'm gonna heap it on you. But again, count it all joy. He's using it to develop us, to build us, to make us more like
Jesus
Christ. And again, it's not what I'm doing for Christ, but what he's doing through me. So when I get out of the way and allow him to work through me, that's when things start to happen. Okay, to get my way. At one point, I gotta really try to make this not about me. But I'm one of my best students, as you guys have. I've expressed that I'm really open and honest about things. And to me, that kind of falls under that verse, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Are we a one another here? We are, huh? Is this the right avenue to do that? Okay, I've fessed up. It's time for you guys to start fessing up. Be open and honest, because again, I'm getting a lot of scripture this morning. Thank you, Lord. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Susan took them.
Huh?
Susan took them.
Oh, right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
She just donated a bunch of really nice handmade quilts for my blanket drive.
Oh, how nice.
So I'm really excited about that. I just kind of out of the blue started that, and the Lord's blessing it. I work with homeless people in like mental health group homes, and they've all got these dirty, thin, gray blankets. And I want to maybe offer these to them for Christmas. And it'll really be something to them. We take so much for granted. Yes. I work with homeless people a lot, so it makes me more appreciative. And I was homeless myself. You guys know my story, most of you. I was living on the streets under, sleeping on one of those thin, dirty, cold, gray blankets. So, been there, done that. But God is good. But he put me through it for a reason and a season. And now I can use that experience to minister to people who are in that spot themselves. Okay. If one point of your anger, reaction, primary, and everything else merely a mark, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Is one part of your anger reaction primary and everything else merely a byproduct? Any comments on that? Usually toward the end of the class, everybody comes alive and we start discussing all this really cool stuff. Okay. No, there's the answer. Your anger operates as a whole system of interlocking components. That unified complexity doesn't reduce to either adrenaline or emotion or thoughts or actions or motives. In anger, everything works together. If you don't understand that anger is something that you do, every part of you working in concert, you'll head in the wrong direction. Let me illustrate with a series of snapshots and examples. When you get angry, all of you gets involved. We will look at your agitated body, your heated emotions, your judgmental thoughts, your aggressive actions, and your godlike motives. Now that word snapshot is an interesting word. Sometimes you'll see one person do something dumb or crazy, or they just lost it for a minute, and you get that snapshot. And every time you think about that person, you think about that snapshot. And you just kind of forget everything else. I like to say, instead of finding something wrong with this situation, flip the script and find out what's right with it. Go ahead.
What do you think he means by godlike motives?
That's kind of interesting, Jerry. That's just tacked on the end there. Let's read it again. We will look at your agitated body, your heated emotions, your judgmental thoughts, your aggressive action, and your godlike motives. I think that's like a negative connotation, like I'm playing God. Mm. Is that how anybody else reads it?
I think the small g.
Yeah, the small g.
That, so it's kind of self-righteousness, is that
right?
Yeah.
Something like that?
I'm playing God. I'll make the decisions. I don't need anybody else to tell me how to do this. Yeah, that's kind of good you brought that up. Your body operates in an agitated mode. Anger involves physiology and anatomy. It has a marked bodily component. Especially obvious, that's a good word too, and the more dramatic forms of anger, a general nervous tension pervades your body. Here we go again. Nerve starts with a nervous tension. Pervades. What does pervade mean? It's kind of like invades. It just comes, takes over. Huh? Your adrenaline surges, the muscles in your face and chest. Maybe your fists too clench. Your stomach churns. The sympathetic nervous system fires up. You actually feel hot as blood rushes to your muscles, preparing you for action. Your face gets red. Your eyes glitter. You've heard of a person having fire in his eyes. Your brow and mouth tighten into a disapproving scowl and frown. You're in a state of high alert with alarm bells clanging. The limbic system of your brain lights up the MRI scan with anger's distinctive neuroelectrical patterns. Wow. Now, any of you guys experience this? I do.
I don't know if it's quite the same, but when I was playing football and ice hockey, you know, I my demeanor changed just because of the competitive of that.
Okay.
And they're both physical, high energy contact sports. And I don't know, Patrick, if a lot of those things, you know, the coaches kind of ramp you up.
Okay.
In that, so I don't if is it. If, I don't know if it's approaching a thing of anger, but there could be, especially in ice hockey, it's, you know, you would flip, and a fight would be start
okay.
and things like that. But it was all kind of, in off the ice and off the field, I didn't have that.
You felt no animosity.
Yeah, I didn't have that on animosity, but it's that competitiveness
okay.
and things in there. But it wasn't anger against your opponents. You didn't like these guys, you know? It was part of the sport, part of the game. So
right.
I don't know if, I guess what I'm trying to say is you can get in situations where it's purposeful to be on the edge of anger, maybe controlled anger in a sense like that, but then you're not. So I don't know, what do you?
No, that I can use that. Because you start feeling all this stuff, and then you reach a point where you start expressing that anger, or you pull back. It reminds me of a boxer. If a boxer really gets angry and hates his opponent, he's going to lose.
Yeah.
Because he gets in a fury and a flurry, and he needs to be controlled, disciplined.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I am not necessarily this does not describe me.
Does this
well,
describe anybody?
Yeah, it does.
Okay,
but I'm thinking, though, if a lot of times in my past when I was around a lot more people, I would take on the anger they had about something. And I know how this, I mean, I know how that feels coming in from my body, even though I was not the one offended. Somebody else's anger was kind of, contagious to me. And so I don't have a lot of relationships like that anymore, but I can see how it is a bit contagious as well. And so you can feel those things happening.
That's a really good point. It's been my experience. Some people who never get angry, but they get angry when you direct anger toward them, and they respond.
Well,
anger.
Sure.
Why? Sure.
A sinner.
Yeah.
Pushing buttons and pulling triggers.
Yeah.
So I say disconnect the buttons and the triggers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Yes, sure.
He was a master at that. He was just, man, he's such an encouraging, incredible guy. I've been studying him for a long time. Yeah. And have you ever read The Letters of a Diary by him?
Eric Metaxas's
yeah.
biography of him? Yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, he went through it, even marching to the gallows to be hung. Naked. And they said the people that witnessed that, he had more dignity and more possession of who he was and what he was about. And everybody was like, wow, you know, instead of stealing and crying like a lot of them do, you know. So he went through it. He's a really good example. Okay. Your eyes glitter. You've heard of a person having fire in his eyes. Your brow and mouth tightened into a disapproving scowl and frown. You're in a state of high alert with alarm bells clanging. The limbic system of your brain lights up to the MRI scan with anger's distinctive neuroelectrical patterns. Modern neuroscience has revealed more of the inside details, but the physical agitation is common sense observation. It's fascinating how the very words for anger play off these visible palpable effects in your body. For example, our English word anger, ANG-ER, comes from a word that captures the distress of a person who feels contorted with intense pain and trouble. Anguish and angst. You feel all twisted up inside when you're mad. You are literally bent out of shape. Anger is a tension state, not a calm state. In fact, our word rage comes from the same root word as rabies and rabid. A violent, raving fit. A mad dog goes mad in both senses, both aggressive and out of his mind. A little lower on the Richter scale of emotion, the face of an angry person looks as if something left a bad taste in his mouth, like the sour taste of stomach acid. Maybe kind of like what you described. It's kind of a lower grade anger that's not so obvious in your demeanor.
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, in those situations, you learn to control it. I mean, you're coached to control it. But there is, you know, I guess it's just your adrenaline's going. You've got all these, you know, the competitiveness of the thing, Patrick, and it needs to be controlled, you know, and it's good that there's rules there, you know, there's consequences, you know, if you do something this, you go to the penalty box.
I need to start watching hockey.
You go to the penalty box, you know, and all this, but there's consequences to this thing, so that helps you to control. If a sense it's, I wouldn't call it anger, but it's really close in certain situations.
Now, when those guys are fighting and stuff, is that maybe a controlled thing they're doing?
Sometimes it's more intimidation and stuff, I think.
Okay.
But sometimes something does somebody, when you get hit with a stick, a high stick, you know, it's just, it really hurts, and you go, oh, you know, that's not good.
Okay. French word for anger is colère, from the facial grimace identical to when the bitter taste of bile or gall is in your mouth. Yikes. Choler in Latin. Those digestive secretions themselves have a long history as synonyms for anger. You ever thought about that? A person with a choleric disposition is always in a built bilious mood and easily galled by what happens. Well, that's a pretty graphic expression there. People have long been struck as how we breathe with loud, irregular snorts when we're ticked off, our nostrils flaring. One Hebrew word for anger is the word for nostrils. Another Hebrew word expresses a different bodily experience, burning. Blood floods your capillaries, heats your skin, and flushes your face. You literally see red and get hot under the collar. That blood flow also produces swelling in your face, popping veins in your neck, and bulging eyes. That hot swelling gives the Greek language its two words for what they saw in an enraged person: steaming or smoking hot and swollen. So it is no accident that many of our vivid expressions for anger play off the physiological effect. When you get steamed up, you breathe fire, hot-blooded person does a slow burn, and then erupts in a volcanic outburst. This is thick stuff here, but it's really nailing it. Anger is unmistakably physiological. Your blood gets flowing, hormones, blood flow, tense muscles, grimaces, and neuroelectric firestorms register anger. But dramatic as this is, there is more to it. The whole person does anger. The body no more explains the core reality of anger than the physics of a flat screen TV explains the movie that's being televised. Electrons underlie everything on TV, but who would dare blame or credit the electrons for bringing us reality TV, infomercials, and Golf Channel? Your body operates in the agitated mode, but what kicks in at the same time? So we've got about 5 minutes. I want to change gears here and share something with you guys and get some input if I could. Something that I wrote. Let's see here. Any along the way, any comments, observations about what we talked about? Okay. The best way to deal with the chronic, cranky, fractious, nettlesome, peckish, peevish, pettish, petulant, scratchy, snarky, techy, testy, tetchy, ill nature. You gotta take a minute to get that? an unpleasant disposition. That's all words for ill-natured, unpleasant disposition, of which I am one. My irritably fueled anger over trivial and insignificant things is for me to take full responsibility. When I go off about some little, this is titled wet plastic, I stretched out some plastic kind of in the road of our, to let it dry out. And I was like, yeah, plastic, but she thought I had just, I had it blown out there or something. But I thought she was questioning what I was trying to do, and I got upset over it. So it kind of helped me think about this. Okay, irritable, getting irritable. Do you guys get set off by just little petty stuff?
Sometimes, yeah.
Somebody does, okay. And then you're like, why don't I just let that pass? Why don't I even, and the scripture for that is the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's the little irritable stuff that just gets in there. Okay, my irritably fueled anger over trivial and insignificant things is for me to take full responsibility, confess both to God and the offended party, and here's the hard part, repent. What does that mean? Don't do it again. And okay, repent and accept forgiveness, and here's my point, resume in the joy of the Lord as rapidly as possible. Okay, I need a little time here. It's going to take me a while to get over this. Okay, how much time do you need? You know, half hour, hour. Are we good? Especially you women. No, I'm not good. I'm just not there. And if you're not there, you're not there, huh? And me, and if I'm telling you, well, you just need to get there. We just need to get this over with and get on with our life. What's your response or reaction?
More anger.
Is what?
More anger.
It just make you
more anger.
So what should I do? What's the right thing for me? It's just to back off and give her room. This is a fictitious scenario, by the way. There's no truth in this whatsoever. And that's hard for me to do. 30 minutes. Are we good?
You made one interesting thing. Accept forgiveness. That means accepting forgiveness is your own repentance for that, your anger towards whatever person, whatever caused that. And then by accepting forgiveness, you are willing to put everything aside
and
move forward.
And it's inadmissible to bring that up again.
Exactly.
Because God removed it as far as the east is from the west.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, but here's the thing. This repentance is what I get stuck on, or this person gets stuck on. 2 or 3 hours later, the same thing's happening again. How many times should we forgive somebody in a day?
70.
I might have exceeded that. You know, she's over there. 1, 2, 3. But also with you women, does it stack up? The passive aggressive? Okay, that's it. You know, well, why? All I did was leave the cap off the toothpaste. Well, but then you, and then you, and yesterday you, oh, last week you, I'm astounded at your memory. I forgot all about that. As men, I think we just close it out and say, okay, we're done with that. We're good. But the women, no. God love them.
Better be careful.
They have a... You notice my wife's not in this class. We'll talk about that later. Okay, I'm getting way up. But, see, this is real stuff. Now, I like real stuff. And I know some of you guys can relate to some of this. But I know God is able. But I know also there's a thing that you probably heard me say, God puts us in the furnace, and he knows just how hot to get it, and just how long to leave you in there. Let me out. 1 more minute, 10 more seconds, 5 more seconds. And when you get out, you've endured that trial and that fire. It's in the midst of trials and temptations that we learn our best lessons. Count it all joy. Yeah. That's a hard step. And the Lord's putting me through it fully. But I'm counting it all joy. 100% of the time, but at the end of the day, when I look at it, He counts me faithful. What option do I have? And I'll just forget all this Christianity and go back into the world. Yes, ma'am.
A verse that has always stuck with me since I've been a Christian is helpful is that don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Yeah, that's one of my theme verses.
And you just said it, yeah. You know, at the end of the day,
okay.
Where are we at? So, I mean, that has been very helpful to me because God is, our lives are ordered by His time, day and evening, day and evening. That helps us keep short account.
And He allows those things to happen, I like to say, for a reason and a season.
That's right.
And I'm in a particularly long season right now.
Yeah.
But I want to be faithful and regroup and forgive that 776 time for the day or whatever.
Right.
Let me finish this and we'll wrap up. So, resuming the joy of the Lord as rapidly as possible, it serves no purpose to stew in this or try and justify more sinning. Oh, what's the use? Man, I failed once, I might as well. And it compels me to want to. You go, watch this. You think that's something? Watch this. And that kind of mentality. Simply just accept it. And Job 14:14, I will wait for my change to come. Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm waiting, my change, when is it going to come? It could be 6 minutes, it could be 6 hours, it could be 6 months, it could be 6 years. Meanwhile, God promises that He will not give us more than we can have.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you right up to that line and seems like beyond. And I'll finish with this. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. And one more. 1 John 1:9. Somebody quote that.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay. So, the forgiveness of sin comes immediately with genuine Holy Spirit-generated power for repentance. God gives us the power to repent. Full loving relationship is restored. When? 2 hours? Next week? Next month? No, immediately. We have that full loving relationship restored with the Lord. And instead, over here in my self-pity trip, beating myself up, the Lord said, Patrick, I've forgiven you. I've restored you. What's the deal here? Not based on feelings. Feelings forget you every time. Well, you know, man, I've done this so many times. I can't see that the Lord's going to keep forgiving me. And I just have to stand on Scripture. And that's when I present the scenario. Are you guys standing on the promises, or are you just sitting on the premises? So you have to decide. And this is real stuff. And I find myself more and more in the midst of the turmoil. I'm quoting Scriptures. And I'm thinking about what the Lord said. And I'm getting power and being regenerated. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel hypocritical. Like, I dare you quote Scriptures. You hypocrite. You know? Remember that old saying? Somebody said, I won't go to church because it's just a bunch of hypocrites. I said, well, if you go, there'll be one more. And then I say, you're going to let a bunch of hypocrites come between you and God? Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time, and just thank you for your this fellowship that we can have, and this group here, Father, and the real power of change comes through you. And thank you that I can use my own personal experiences for a tool to teach and learn and grow and change. And you're faithful, Father, and you never change, but you're the same every day. So just bless us now. Lead God and direct us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thanks, guys. Good stuff. Okay, I guess same time, same channel next week.
What you just read, so can we get a copy of that?